You have your Bible, turn tonight to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, start at verse 12. We'll read several verses of Scripture here, and then we'll just try to mind the Lord tonight. Acts chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And then when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Amen. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing and a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that these men heard, that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we are born? Parthenians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Pyrgia and Pamphylia and in Egypt and in the parts of Libya and Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying unto one another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see dreams, and your old men shall shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Now look at verse 36. He said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized in the same day. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I won't preach tonight, if God will be my help on this talk, the overflowing flood. Amen. And now he talks about here, we see here this baptizing that we have, and Peter's talking about, and he's talking about a mighty moving of God. He's talking about the sweet Spirit of God moving on the people of God, those that are believers, those that are willing to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and his resurrection. That's the only way that we'll get in on this. If we miss that, we miss it all. But I'm glad tonight that there is a God, and he's real, and he's working. Word is true, and his word is that'll help us to draw closer to him day by day. Amen? That's what he wants us to do. Draw closer day by day. We see this here, references. Now, I want to look at this just a minute tonight, kind of a different direction. He gives us seven references here then in the New Testament, which we can see that baptism with the Holy Spirit and the baptism when the Holy Spirit of God is just poured out on purpose. Amen? Praise God. I like it when it's poured out. I like it, praise God, when it's running and it's flowing, praise the Lord, and people get in. I mean, I'm not talking about in ankle-deep water. I'm not talking about in wading water. I'm talking about getting in the swimming water, seeing God move and loving His appearance and looking for Him to touch you, praise God, where you're at and bring you to a place where you can rejoice down in your soul. You know, say tonight God intends for us to rejoice. We should be a people rejoicing tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we see they seven references to the filling of the Spirit. Five of them are prophetic. We see them one right here in verse 5 where he's talking about this here. And he says in John in chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, verse 5, he said, "We're John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Amen. So he was prophesying, Lord Jesus Christ was prophesying about the coming of the Holy Spirit of God to fill His people. And he told them to go up there and wait them and expect Him till He come. Amen. I mean, sometimes it'd pay us a good Christian folk if we get on the knee, praise God, and just pray and stay there till the Holy Spirit of God moves upon our heart. Amen. Or have a good night, a good a right relationship with Him as He begins to touch us. And He begins to help us. We see also in Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, we see the same thing, that sweet spirit of the filling of the Holy Spirit of God as He begins to move in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. There I go again. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. He said, "I indeed baptize you." Talking now John the Baptist. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Amen. Praise God. He said John was preaching the gospel and he was saying, praise God, there's something coming that you ain't ever experienced before. He said, "I can baptize you into repentance, but praise God, there's one coming that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost of God." Amen. Praise the Lord. We see the same thing mentioned in Mark chapter 1 and verse 8. If you want to write it down, I'm not going to go there. You can see it in Luke chapter 3 and verse 16. Amen. Where he's talking, where it's prophetic that the Lord, and they're talking about the Holy Spirit of God that's coming. Amen. Could you imagine how excited those people were? But how amazed they were because they were disillusioned. They didn't know. They didn't know what the Holy Ghost of God was. Amen. Praise the Lord. They've seen the Lord Jesus Christ. He is anything like them. They knew they was going to like it. Amen. Praise God. He said, "I'm going to send you another comforter. A comforter that'll abide with you, praise God. That'll be in you. That'll indwell you." Can you imagine it? It blowed their mind, I guess. It blows my mind. I can't comprehend the Holy Ghost of God. But I know sometimes, brother, I get going down the road and I get the mully grubs. I'm feeling sorry for myself. Praise God, and there'll be a good song or something come on the radio. All of a sudden, it's like the good God of glory just slides up next to me, puts His arm around me and said, "Son, it's all right." Amen. You know what that is? That's the Holy Ghost of God. He's a doing that, praise God. He's a giving us that comfort that we need. But we see that in John chapter 1. Let me give you one more of these. In John chapter 1, in verse 32. John chapter 1, verse 32, let's just go back up to verse 29. It said, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He's talking about Jesus. Amen. He said, "This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John by record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and by record that this is the Son of God. Amen. Where does the Holy Ghost God come from? Comes from the Son of God. Without him, praise God, we'd not have. He said, if I go away, he won't come. Praise God. If I go away, not. But he said, but if I go away, I'll send him unto you. I'm glad, praise God, he sent me something that would endure in this fight with me. I'm glad I've got something, praise God, that'll go with me. It'll stay with me. He'll walk with me. He'll never forsake me. He'll be there, praise God, when all my friends have forsaken me, when everybody's turned their back on, when nobody seems to care. Praise God, the Holy Ghost of God will be there with me to whisper in my ear the will of the Father. Just keep on, praise God. It's going to be all right. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad I have a blessed hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I have somebody, amen, who loves me and cares for me with a great and a mighty care. Five prophetic verses he gives us pointing to the Holy Ghost of God, that sweet overflowing flood that was coming for me and you. Something that would run over our soul, praise God. That would be so big we couldn't contain it. You know, you realize we were never intended to contain the Holy Spirit. Amen. It'll get out on you. Amen. Amen. It'll run over on you. Praise God. Before you know it, you'll get the running out of the banks, running out of your eyes. Praise God. Overflowing on somebody else. Now we see in Acts chapter 11, we see five prophetic verses, but we also see one historical verse. If you look at Acts chapter 11 and verse 15 and 16, Acts chapter 11, verse 15, 16. And Peter's talking to him here. And he says in verse 15, he said, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them and as on us at the beginning. He said, then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So what John was, what Peter was doing here, he was repeating history. He was giving them a little history lesson. He said, when Jesus was walking along with us, when he was here on earth with us, he said, glory be to God. He said, you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. He said, it wouldn't be a spooky thing. He said, it'd be something that you'd rejoice in. So we see five prophetic. We see one historical. And then we have, praise God, if you got a prophetic and you got a historical, you got to have some doctrine, all right? Amen. Something that you build upon. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, the Lord said, spiritual gifts. He said, I want to show you what spiritual gifts are. So I want to show you what the Spirit can do through you. See, sometimes I think we get sidetracked and we think that the Holy Spirit of God's going to use, this one and that one or another, but He won't use us. But right here, it plainly, in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God, He lays it out for us. He said, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you want to praise the Lord, you're going to lift up His name. You're going to magnify Him, lift Him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw them into it. If we're going to lift Him up, praise Him, praise God, we're going to do it by the Holy Spirit. You won't be able to do it in your flesh. Your flesh is weak. But the Holy Spirit of God, praise God, and the Holy Spirit, you can lift up the name of Jesus. He said, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. You know, every good gift comes from Father of lights, comes down from the Father of lights, and praise God, every gift is given by the Spirit of God. He's a Spirit in us to move us, to take us, and to help us to do that we need to do. You and I. He said, there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. In other words, He's large and in charge. And He's doing those things that through us and to us to help us to lift up the name of Jesus. That God will get the glory. You know, every time we lift up the name of Jesus, God gets the glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. It just radiates right through the Spirit, right through the Son. Praise God, right to the Father on the throne of grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Verse 8 said, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. I'm going to say, I believe he's trying to get us to understand that there's only one Spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit of God that he sends to us, praise God. He said, I'll pray the Father. He'll send you a comforter. He'll abide with you and he'll help you. He'll console you. He'll comfort you. Amen. I'm glad for that comfort then, ain't you? I've had times in my life been dark. I needed somebody to help me. I've been times in my life I said, Lord, I need your help. I need something, Lord. Manifest, hey, give me something. I need something. Praise God. And there he was. Holy Ghost, God tiptoe across my heart. Praise God. Squeezed the juice out of me. And next thing I know, everything was all right. That shade of darkness, praise God, is gone. And a marvelous light of the glory of God is shining bright in my heart. Number 10, verse 10 says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Have you ever wondered why some people get two or three gifts, and some of us poor dumb souls, we just barely can make it with one? Amen? I would to God, God give me a voice I could sing like Brother Robert. But he didn't give me that. Amen. I wish he had given me a voice I could preach like some of these great big preachers. But he didn't give me that either. Amen. He just made me who I am. Praise God. Because I just have to do what I can the best of my ability. Praise God. Because if I do try to do something like somebody else, I'll mess up what I am. Amen. And I just do what I do. Praise God for the glory of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ has moved my heart. So we see the prophetic scriptures of the Holy Spirit of God. We see the doctrinal spirit of the Holy Spirit of God. And then we see the historical, and we see the doctrinal spirit. Now the Bible says, Ephesians 5:18 said, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. So he says that's what we must do, praise God. What we must continually try to do is to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. You say, well, preacher, how do you do that? We encourage ourselves in the Lord. Amen. That Spirit, praise God, that connection we have with God, that's that Spirit that's going back and forth, that's working in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. He takes it from our head to our heart, and he manifests himself in us, praise God. And then it goes back up, and we get the praise and rejoicing and magnifying God, and God gets the glory, and we get the blessing. Amen. We get to reap the benefits of the sweet Spirit of God. Is he manifest himself to us? Praise the Lord. So how do we get it? How do we get filled with the Spirit of God? That's to be being filled. Amen. It's kind of like going to the table and eating. I can put the food on the table and I can scoot up in my chair, but if I don't take hold of those utensils and cut it up and stick it in my face, amen, I'm going to starve to death. Amen. You say, well, no, you won't. Miss Teresa would feed you. Yeah, right. Amen. She done told me how it was. She said, if I got busted up, I couldn't feed myself. I couldn't take care of myself. I couldn't clean up myself. She said, pressure washer. Amen. She don't have a compassionate heart like she ought to. Pray about that. Amen. But how do we get that feeling of spirit? I've been thinking on this for 2 weeks. As I was traveling about and I was thinking, we get this feeling, praise God, of the Holy Ghost. And I got five little points I want to give you tonight on how to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. We'll go to the house. Amen. Number one, the filling of the Holy Ghost comes from providence. Amen. It comes from providence. It comes from God. Now that word providence means the act of preparing for the future. Amen. Providence is the act of preparing for the future. Who prepares us for the future? Now, mom and daddy do. You're born and they raise you up and they feed you and they diaper you and change your clothes. They get you up. They send you to school. Amen. If you mess up, they beat you a little bottom. Praise God. Straighten you out. Keep you on the straight and narrow path. Amen. Till they get grown up. But who is really preparing us for our future? God is. God is the one that's preparing us for our future. Look over Acts chapter 1. I read in your hearing tonight. Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Amen. So through the providence of God, he said, hey, you know what? He said, the act of that, preparing for the future. See, God was preparing them for the future. They didn't know it. They didn't know what his plan was for them for the future. I want to say a whole lot of us don't know what God's plan is for us for the future. But we have to be submissive to his will or we're liable to miss it. Amen. When we love him and we seek his face and we seek direction, praise God, he begins to prepare us for the journey. He prepares us every day for our future. We don't know what our future holds. Amen. Our lives can change from day to day. You could be clicking along, you know, not thinking about anything much, and all of a sudden, boom, something will happen and it changes your future forever. Amen. There's been people the last couple of weeks that we've heard, not old people, that have been clicking along thinking everything is okay, and all of a sudden their whole future changes. Amen. But through the providence of God, amen, he's preparing us through his word for the future. So I'm going to say the one that's preparing you for the future, it's God. He will prepare you for the future. He'll give you that you need for the future. And we need all the help we get because our future ain't looking really good. I'm telling you what, there's a persecution coming on church and we better wake up and smell the coffee because we need to be alert. We need to be what? Jesus said we need to be watching, praise God, in these last days. We need to be vigilant. Amen. We need to, but while we're vigilant, we need to be marching, praise God. There ain't nowhere to quit. There ain't nowhere to slow down, praise God, because if you do, the devil will overtake you. Amen. So we got to keep marching, praise God, realizing that the Lord is preparing us for our future. Amen. According to the Bible, the future could be pretty bleak. But for a child of God, it's going to be okay. Man, we have a blessed hope. We have a blessed promise. Amen. The one that gave the promise here, he said, you go up there and you wait. He said, wait for the promise from the Father. See, what we're doing, we're playing this game called life, and we're just waiting on the promise from the Father. And one day in just a little while, praise God, he's going to say, okay, glory to God. He said, it's time, time's up. And he's going to take us out of here to be with him. But until then, we just have to wait for the promise. See, that's what they did. They was waiting on the promise. Amen. So we know that in order to have be filled with Spirit, it comes through the providence of God. God gives us that power, that strength for the future so that we can face the future boldly. We don't have to be apprehensive about the future because we know who holds the future. God's got the future, praise God, and he said our future is going to be with him in the future. Amen. Praise God. Just rejoice, praise God. Throw your head back and say, glory to God. I'm glad I'm one of his. He has a perfect plan for you and I. Amen. And he will fulfill that plan. So it comes with providence from God. It also comes from prayer. If you look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. Now in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, he said they were assembled together. In Acts chapter 1 and 14, he said, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he said that they all come together. They was a praying and lifted up their voices unto the Lord. So it comes from prayer. It comes from God's people getting together and praying, seeking God's face. Amen. Realizing that where two or three are gathered together, there's power from the Lord. Amen. We need to harness that power. We need to harness that strength. That's why we need to be together. That's why we need to be praying together, praying for each other. Amen. Together. He said they were gathered together. They were gathered together in the Lord's house, praise God, and they were praying and seeking the face of God. He said these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Amen. They was expecting something from the Lord. They was praying, glory be to God. In chapter 2, verse 1, it said when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now I want you to notice this. They were praying. They all come together in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, praise God, they were still in one accord. They were still in one mindset. They were still in one place, and they were still praying. Amen. How long did they pray? Anybody remember? 10 days. They went into the upper room. Praise God, the disciples and the people and these women that was with them, the mother of Jesus, praise God, and they had one mind, one accord, and they began to pray. Seek God's face. I wonder if we come together in one mind, one accord. Amen. Said, you know what? We've got some special objects, especially some dire circumstances. And we all come together as one. Hello? I said, we all come together as one unit. Because we're all the body, right? Amen. We come together as one and we pray as one. You talk about shaking old devil's cage. Amen. You talk about seeing prayers. You talk about God being able to move in the lives of people. He'd begin to make changes all around us. We come together in prayer. Come together to pray, seeking His face, desiring that He would move upon our object, that we could see souls saved. Boys and girls, mamas and daddies, children, praise God, my boys and pops, seeing them saved and birthed into the family of God. When we come together, begin to pray. See, He gives us examples. Amen. Praise the Lord. He was expecting something to happen. Lord said, go up there and say, just wait on the promise from God. Amen. They had high expectations. You know what's wrong with us? We can't do it because we don't have high expectations. Our expectations down here. They ought to be way up here. So you know what? I'm going to pray. We're going to get together. We're going to pray and we're going to expect God to move in these situations. Expect God to begin to save these people that's lost. Amen. So it comes from prayer, getting together, praying and seeking God's face. So it comes from providence, comes from prayer, but it also comes from people. Amen. Comes from fellowship. Hello? Said they was all in one accord. They were all there. Said they all come together continually. Nobody quit. Nobody left. Nobody went home. Nobody gave up. They all stayed there and they prayed and they began to seek God's face. Amen. He said they were all there. I just read in your hearing, and these all continued with one accord. In chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. Amen. Nobody quit and went to the house. Nobody said, you know what? I got some things I got to do. I'm not going to be able to stay here for this prayer meeting, but you'll just keep on going, and I'll catch you when I can. Amen. But they said they was all in there. They stayed together. They stayed with it. Praise God. They never compromised. They never looked back. They said, all right, if this is what we need to do to get the power of God, we're going to stay with it. Amen. What's wrong with most people today? We don't have much staying power. And it don't take much to dissuade us and get us to give up. Praise the Lord. But we see how they move. It makes a difference. When we come together, when people come together, when in fellowship, when they come looking for the Lord, seeking Him, they get more than they've bargained for. You remember in Acts chapter 10, that centurion named Cornelius? Cornelius was praying there Bible said he was a just man. And he was praying. It says in Acts chapter 10, verse 30. Acts chapter 10, verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, and he tells Peter this when Peter finally come, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. Now watch this. He said, I was fasting. Now this is a lost man. He's a Gentile. He's lost. Amen. He'd never been saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. So he says, you know what happened? He said, I was praying, and I was fasting, I was praying, and a man appeared to me, and he said, God's heard your prayers. And you know the story, the Paul Harvey version. He sends these the people down there to get Peter. He said, you go down there to one Simon the Tanner, and there'll be a fellow, he's Simon, surnamed Peter. Said, you go down there and get him. Said, you bring him down here, and he'll tell you what you need to know. Amen. If there's anything you need to know, praise God, you petition God hard enough and long enough, praise God, He'll show you what you need to know. Amen. Your prayers won't go up void, praise God. I believe sometimes God just lets us keep praying just to see if we're going to be sincere. Amen. What's wrong with us, praise God? We tend to give up too quickly, don't we? Amen. We have to stay in there. And then we'd see the power of God move. And if you go on, look down in verse 34. And they said, then Peter, in Acts chapter 10, said, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteous is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And we all witnessed it, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jew and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. You know what Peter's a doing? He's a witnessing. Amen. He's just telling about an awesome and a mighty God. See, that's why God said, you go down there and get Peter, he'll come back, he'll come over here and he'll tell you what went on. Praise God. He'll tell you how you can get in. And said, he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, and that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now watch this. He said, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out. Now watch this. The gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which had received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Amen. So that pouring out Holy Ghost, praise God, when people come together. See what Cornelius did while they was going up there to get Peter and bring him down here. Cornelius run out. He got his family. He got his maids. He got his servants. He got his workers. He got his neighbors. He got the soldiers. Everybody he could get, praise God. He said, you've got to come up to the main house, praise God. Hey, something going on here this afternoon. Amen. Praise the Lord. He'd been praying, he was expecting, praise God, and that power come when the people got together. Amen. They got together, they was fellowship. They began to speak and they began to magnify the name of God. Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost of God fell on them. Amen. Praise the Lord. God, bless His name for His Spirit. Amen. So we see the providence, we see the prayer, and we see the people, but we also see the power. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God comes from power. From power. What kind of power? Power from heaven. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 2. The Bible says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing and mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. Amen. Said the power, praise God, it comes from heaven. There's no other place, praise God, that the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the power of the Holy Spirit can come from, but from heaven. Amen. You can't conjure it up. You can't work it up. You can't get it on your own. It comes from heaven, and it comes to those that are expecting, are looking for it. He said, be being filled with the Spirit. Amen. To be being filled with the Spirit of God. And that fellowship, praise God, was through our fellowship, through the providence, through the power, we receive through the people, we receive that power from God. We receive that power from heaven that comes down to usward from Him. Amen. It comes down like a mighty and a rushing wind, praise God. Just pours out upon you and blows across you. Amen. You can't see it, but you can feel it. Amen. Kind of like a great big wind when it blows across you. Amen. You can't, a lot of times you can't see it, but praise God, you can feel it. If you get to watching, you'll see it a little bit because you'll get to see the trees doing it like this. Amen. Praise the Lord, I like it when it comes through. Like I like every now and then, Melma, praise God, you'll get to seeing it on her. She's like one of the mighty oaks, praise God. Amen. Some of you others, praise God, get to giving God a glory wave. That's when the Holy Spirit is God, where the power comes, amen, and He just overflows you. Praise God. And we get it on purpose. It's not an accident. Jesus went away so that He could pray the Father, and He would send us the Holy Spirit of God, a Spirit that would move upon us. That's why it scares me to death, because in the day and hour we live, we've got cold, dead churches. Amen. I get up to preach and they look at me like I'm a new gate. They look like sheep looking at a new gate. When I get up, they're like, what in the world's he doing? Amen. Somebody said the other day, I preached that funeral last Friday, and somebody said they told Lloyd, they called him. It's one of our people that's running for commission or something. And they said, man, that was hell brimstone preaching. I said, that was just a funeral preaching. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just that saying what God has given us, amen. The promise that we have, it comes from Him. Power comes from heaven. Praise God. And it's given us it's given to you and I. Number five, it's a privilege. Amen. Now, I've been really studying on this because they got a thing going on now. The hard left is talking about Christian privilege like it's a bad thing. Amen. And now they're start saying white Christian privilege. Amen. You heard that? Have you heard it on the news? They're talking about white Christian privilege. And they say it like, and they're teaching their kids like it's a bad, stay away from that. Stay away from them people. Amen. Don't have nothing to do with them, them white Christian privileged people. Amen. I got to thinking about that. So what are they trying to say? I guess through God, they're just trying to tell the truth. That's what we are. Amen. Amen. I'm not ashamed that I'm a white man. Amen. I'm a white. Hey, these people out here in the world. He's a white woman. She's as white as I am. So I tell people she's black. Amen. What's up with that? And then you got black people that's trying to tell people that they're white. Why don't we just be what we are? So we don't. Amen. Praise God. What God created us to be. If we try to be something else, we'll mess up that we are. Amen. If I'm a white man, I can't help it. That's the way I was born. I count it as an honor to be a white man in America. Amen. If they're a black person in America, praise God, you ought to stand up and say, glory to God, I'm glad I'm a black man in America. If they're American Indian, praise God, stand up and say, glory to God, I'm glad I'm an Indian in America. Amen. If they do that, we could quit this mess and just go on for the glory of God. Amen. But I will say now, praise God, we are white and we are Christian and we are privileged. Glory to God. I will say, what I'm saying is don't let them shame you in thinking that you're something wrong. Or they something wrong with you. I got to digging on that the other day and I dug and dug and dug. Boy, I dug out some nuggets. I said, glory be to God. Bless your name. I just looked up a few words. Amen. On this privilege. Now, Noah Webster, 1828, says privilege is to exempt from censor or danger. Amen? To exempt from censor or danger. Now, I don't know about you, but right here in the Word of God where we've been looking, it talks about that in Acts chapter 4 and verse 18. Peter had to do that too. He said, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than unto God, judge ye. Amen. He said, you can't say, you can't preach anymore in the name of Jesus, praise God. He said, hey, listen, hey, we're just going to have to mind God. He said, we ain't doing it for you, we're doing it for God. He said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Praise God. So he said, hey, listen, said you may try to censor if you want to. We're just going to tell you about Jesus. And he's a living, he's alive, praise God. He's alive forevermore. He said to exempt from censor. They can't censor us because we know truth. You can't censor the truth. Amen. But he says not only exempt from censure, but from danger. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21-22, he talks about that. He says he talks about the danger, and he's telling about the danger of judgment and the danger of counsel and the danger of hellfire. Mark chapter 3, verse 29, he talks about danger of eternal damnation. Amen. They can't say. But he says to be privileged is to be exempt from censor and from danger. I don't have to worry about these things no more. Amen? I'm exempt from judgment. I'm exempt from counsel. I'm exempt from hellfire. I'm exempt from eternal damnation. Praise God. I've got something to shout at. I am a Christian and I'm privileged. Amen. I don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. Amen. They start that privilege stuff with you. Say, glory to God, yes, I don't have to worry about going to hell. Amen. Jesus died for my sins. I accept that. I believe all my faith is in Him. I'm heaven bound with the hammer down. I'm privileged. Amen. Glory to God. You say, preacher, would you say that? Yes, I would. What could they do? Amen. My father didn't realize they need to get saved. Amen. Praise God. But not only does Noah Webster say it's exempt from censure and danger, but he says it means to invest with peculiar rights. Amen? To invest with peculiar rights. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, he says that he might purify unto himself a peculiar people. Amen? So what he said that we're invest with peculiar right. God made an investment in you and me, praise God. He give us the ability to become a peculiar soul for His glory. Amen. So that means, praise God, yes ma'am, yes sir, I am privileged tonight. I'm a white boy, I'm Christian, and I'm privileged. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Bless His holy name. To invest with peculiar rights. God invested in me. I didn't see nothing in me. Amen. You probably, I might not be able to see nothing in you, but God made, glory to God, He made the investment in you and He made the investment in me. Yep. Praise God. And invested the best He had. Didn't hold nothing back when He sent His Son. Amen. To invest in us peculiar rights. Or immunity. Amen? That's not only privilege, but that's particular privilege. Amen? Didn't only He give us Christian privilege, but He gave us a particular privilege. Amen? We have a particular privilege tonight. We're particularly become part of the family, the household of God, the household of faith. He took us in, praise God, adopted us into the house. Praise God. We're not servants, praise the Lord, although we serve, but we're part of the family of God. So yes, ma'am, yes, sir, I am privileged today. I'm a child of the King. Bless His holy name. Something else Noah Webster's 1828 says. He says it's a public act that regards an individual. Amen. He said to have privilege, he said, is a public act. See, in other words, he said it wasn't done in a corner. Amen. Praise God. And see, that's how they know about it. That's how they know that we have Christian privilege is because it ain't done in a corner, praise God. Because we don't. Now, I know in a whole lot of places now they're saying, now listen, church, you know what we have here? You just keep it right here. You know, we're going to build us up and we're going to be bigger and better and we're going to just get ourselves ready and we're going to go home. But don't say nothing about what we say in here out yonder. You know, it might get us in trouble. Amen. That's what they say. But he said, you know what? He said it's an act. It's public act. God give us His prejudice. He regards us publicly and individually. Noah says it's to look upon and to drive off or to repel. To get rid of that stuff that's not wanted right around there. It means to protect, to hold, to keep, to retain. He said it means to look in. Praise God. So Christian privilege is God Almighty watching over us, keeping us, protecting us, and looking in and looking on. Amen. So somebody says, you just got Christian privilege. I say, glory to God, yes. Amen. So I'm blessed, praise God, beyond measure. I have a God that's keeping me, guarding me, watching over me, looking in on me, praise God. So what do you have? Yeah, looking between big bills, say, what do you got? Amen. Smile at them real big in a loving way. Amen. Say, what do you got, glory to God? I got a great big God that's a watcher. Yeah, I am privileged. I am a Christian. And bless God, I'm white. Amen. I can't help it. Man, most of us can't. Now, Teresa's daddy could. He's the only fella I see. He'd get out in the sun. He'd take his shirt off. And by the end of summer, he was black as Melissa's sweater. We went over to visit him one evening, and he was down there around the trash box of weed eating. Had on his old bib overhauls, didn't have a shirt on. Had his do-rag around his head. Boy, he was just a-getting it. We come down the driveway, and her daddy is down below us, that about as far to hear that door back there. She said, Jeffrey. She said, who's that little black man? I said, glory to God, I can't wait till I get to your daddy. Amen. He'd been down to the lake all summer. Pray God, he just spent 2 weeks on vacation and come in. We hadn't seen him. Glory be God, he was just about black as soot. Amen. As close to a black man as he could get. But you know what? That wouldn't have bothered God. He loves them too just as much as he loves us. Amen. Red, yellow, black, or white, or brown, praise God. God loves them the same. And they all have the same opportunity to be privileged. Amen. All have the same opportunity to be Christians and privileged. Amen. All have the same opportunity to be saved and born again, praise the Lord. Same privilege we got. All you got to do is bow your head and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Said, you want what I got? Yeah, I got Christian privilege. If you want what I got, all you got to do is accept what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary for you. Amen. Be saved, be born again, and you'll have the same privilege I've got. But glory to God. Ain't that good? Amen. God said, whosoever would come unto Him. Amen. And we could receive this, all these things, and it gives us that overflowing flood. Comes into our heart, praise God. Manifest yourself to us. Gives us that goodness of God, and He pours out on purpose. Amen. There ain't no other way in the world, man, come and preach like it and be wringing wet when you get done. Amen. If it wasn't for God. Amen. My flesh couldn't stand it. But God. I'm thankful that He does. I'm thinking He just fills my soul. I love Him with all my heart. Praise God. He manifests Himself to me, and I can't wait to tell it. Amen. What are you saying? I'm not ashamed of Him. And I'm not ashamed of my Christian privilege. Amen. Because God loves me. Amen.